You are locked into Locked On Badgers on today, Thursday, August 12th. As you can hear, I'm your host, Ben Kenny, here again with a solo show. Asher is on his way flying back from Las Vegas in his paradise of basketball that no one else cares about. So we'll get his thoughts on that probably on tomorrow's episode. I'm eager to hear how that all went and how the former Badgers performed in the Summer League, as well as just like how his mind works to love watching that kind of basketball. I couldn't do it, even though I'm probably a hypocrite that I'm going to watch NFL preseason football tonight. That's aside from the point. You could follow me on Twitter at Ben Z Kenny. You could follow the show at Locked On Badgers. And you can follow both Asher and my work up at thebadgerswire.usatoday.com. And go leave a review on the podcast. It helps immensely. Give your feedback on what you like hearing, what you don't like about what I say or what Asher says, all that stuff. So today, great show for you on this Thursday. With it being solo and us already having gone through a lot of the storylines and thoughts about the 2021 Wisconsin team, I kind of want to dive deeper into the hole and give you the four biggest question marks for me surrounding this team. Now, Asher and I recently joined Nate Dickinson on Locked On Big Ten and kind of previewed all the entire Wisconsin team, what's changed since last year. But y'all have already heard that us go through that a lot, especially since I came on this podcast in March. And we've honestly, Asher and I have been working to kind of show the world and the country that this is a Wisconsin team that's getting underrated in many ways. Some people are looking at this roster and this unit, Graham Mertz specifically, as someone who maybe 2020 was more of the norm. But as we've gone through countless times on this podcast, that is not the case given everything the team went through. So we're trying to change those narratives and narratives that see them ranked 15th in the coaches poll, which I think is too low. That we went through all that on our episode with Nate Dickinson. You can find that on our podcast page and also on the Locked On Big Ten YouTube channel. Today, it's just my voice going through the four biggest question marks about this Wisconsin Badger team. Because honestly, I think these are the only four in my mind. And I don't want to rank them. I want to display them and also acknowledge that this isn't a roster and a team with that many big questions surrounding it. Like we've seen in the past, like when Jonathan Taylor left after 2019, going to last year, you wonder who's going to be the primary running back. Quintez Cephas leaves. Chris Orr, Zach Bond. All these times that there's big turnover at key positions, that isn't the case this year, aside from Eric Burrell at safety. So I have four big questions, and then we have a mailbag question to get to, which is actually really interesting. It kind of goes into how you need to win in today's age of college football. So I'll hit that in the third segment. But first, my four, honestly, only questions heading into the year about this Wisconsin Badger football team. Number one, will the running game be able to rebound? Obviously, 2019, Jonathan Taylor, arguably the greatest statistical college career, especially only in 3 years, that we've ever seen in the sport. You can put him into the conversation with Ron Dayne as the best running backs to ever step foot in Madison or on a college football field. So when you lose him, you're obviously losing a great at the position and a lot of the production that comes with it. Now, last year, there's a rotating cast of characters, right? You have Nakia Watson, who couldn't really take that number one job and run with it. No pun intended. You have Jalen Berger, the highly touted freshman who comes in and didn't have more than 15 carries in a game, albeit when he did touch the football, you saw a lot of potential there. Then you have Garrett Groshek, the seasoned vet who was solid but not special from the position. The running game as a whole was not where the team needed it to be. And everyone looks at Wisconsin as a running team, obviously. You can get bored by it. But listen to these stats from last year, and I've gone through them already. But in their wins last season, in their four wins, 205 rushing yards per game, 4.43 yards per carry. Now, even those are a little low for what we know Wisconsin to be, especially in the last decade. But in their losses, it was bad. Only 110 yards per game, 3 yards per carry. And all that did is it put all of the pressure on Graham Mertz's injured shoulder. And we saw what happened. The team couldn't move the ball effectively. They couldn't finish drives for that middle stretch of the season when they were losing. And it just caused the unit as a whole to not be able to run effectively. So going into this year, that's why this is a question, because we don't know who it's going to be at the forefront of that position. We have Jalen Berger coming back. Can he be able to take 25 or 30 carries a game and carry the load? If the answer is yes, then that question would be answered. He obviously has the talent to be great in that backfield, but we just don't know. Incoming Clemson, or I guess already arrived, Clemson transfer Ches Malusi, can he do that? Or are we going to see the 1-2 punch of Berger and Malusi? Now listen, there are the good part about all this is there are a lot of options, and there are a lot of talented options. This is different than last year, when you didn't know, and you also had to acknowledge, I guess, that you didn't have a star in that backfield. Malusi has the talent. Berger has the talent. Both of them to be stars and be those guys. So if both of them can contribute, that'll also work. But you need that running game to rebound to not to Jonathan Taylor levels, but to those levels we saw where the pressure isn't all on Graham Mertz's right shoulder and throwing the ball every single time in 3rd-and-9, 3rd-and-10, 3rd-and-11 situations. Because it didn't work last year. And anyone who watched the team could have seen that. But also behind Berger and Malusi, you have freshman Braylon Allen, only 17 years old, throwing stiff arms at practice. He's a physical beast, and everyone's raving about him, obviously. He was great in high school on the defensive side as well. We just don't know what to expect from him as a 17-year-old freshman. I think he will see the field, and I think they'll find a way to give him the ball, make him have an impact. But he won't be that workhorse back from day one. You also have Isaac Arendo behind him, Julius Davis. There are a lot of options. It's a loaded room. You just wonder, will the entire unit be able to rebound after last year's disappointment? That's my first big question. Number two, can the new defensive end rotation carry the load we saw Isaiah Loudermilk and Garrett Rand carry last year? So both of those guys gone. Isaiah Loudermilk on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Rand has graduated. So you have two new faces coming in as starters. Matt Henningsen has a lot of experience. And then you have what figures to be Isaiah Mullins next to him. But when Loudermilk and Rand go, you're losing two starters, two vets, that were great in the run game and great at establishing the holes for the inside linebackers to run through. We know that's how Jim Leonard operates his defense. But you also lose production in seven games of 25 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. Like they were still productive in that spot, especially Loudermilk. He was a force last season. So losing those guys are big, and it's the biggest position on defense, I'll say that, that doesn't return experience after last season. You can point to Eric Burrell at safety, obviously, but still, Scott Nelson and Colin Wilder have played a lot of football back there. And aside from that, you don't really lose anybody on defense. Rashad Wild Goose barely even played last season because he got injured in the Northwestern game. So it was Fayon Hicks and Caesar Williams at cornerback last season. These defensive ends, like this is a important position on the defense, and it's the one with the fewest amount of snaps returning. Even at outside linebacker, Nick Herbig played all of last year as a true freshman. So again, figures to be Matt Henningsen and Isaiah Mullins with Oregon transfer Isaac Townsend behind them and Rodas Johnson as well. You have TJ Ballers, the incoming freshman. I doubt he'll be part of the rotation that early, but it'll be up to what Henningsen and Mullins can do. Now, Henningsen has produced a bunch in the past. Even with him getting injured in the Michigan game last year and missing the remainder of that season, this is a guy that's played 25 games as a Wisconsin Badger, 58 total tackles, 7.5 tackles for loss, 5 sacks. He's shown it on the field. And last year, he was a popular dark horse kind of breakout guy. And he made the Athletic's freak list for this year, talking about both how he's a genius in the classroom, but also physically, he's a beast. So he figures to be a very consistent force there. I'm not concerned or worried about that. Isaiah Mullins, on the other hand, he's only played in 4 collegiate games. You're talking about 5 total tackles and just a half tackle for loss. That's it. And behind that again, Isaac Townsend, who transferred from Oregon, didn't play there. He was a highly touted recruit a couple years ago. And then Rodas Johnson. So it's the question mark here really falls on the fact that there isn't much experience there, and it's the only position that you could say that about. I'm honestly not that concerned about whether Henningsen and Mullins or whoever it is can take over and do the job, especially with a guy primed to break out in Keanu Benton right next to them. I think that'll be a productive group, or at least good enough, but it is a legitimate question just given the fact that it's the only spot that you didn't see both guys there also play last season. Before we get to my third and fourth question mark surrounding the 2021 Wisconsin Badgers, as well as the mailbag question about what you need at quarterback to succeed in college football at this point, this episode is brought to you by a new sponsor, and it's Sweatblock. Now listen, Madison, Wisconsin, especially this summer, has been hot as all hell. Hotter than I remember it, even last summer. And there are some times where sweating, you know, it's not really in the cards. That's where Sweatblock comes in. They are antiperspirant wipes that you apply at night. Next morning, you wake up, wash, go about your day, and you're not even going to worry about sweating. They're doctor-created, doctor-recommended. They work up for 7 days per use. They give you a dry shirt guarantee, which means if Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. They are featured and tested on The Rachel Ray Show by firefighters, a bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years, over 13,000 reviews, and they're manufactured here in the USA. So you can get it today, 20% off at sweatblock.com if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Or you can get them at Amazon, at CVS. But if you go to sweatblock.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, you get 20% off your first order. That's sweatblock.com. Now getting into my final two questions surrounding this Wisconsin football team. Number three is one that you've heard beat like a drum. You've heard it probably in every spiel you've ever heard from me or anybody else about this team. But it's the biggest question. It's the most important question. It's whether Graham Mertz becomes that dude. Now, there are different levels of success you could talk about. You could go into if he just goes to a Jack Cohn level, if you will, which is very good, very consistent, takes care of the football, then everything around him will help him succeed. That would be considered a success. But you go further, you could talk about him ascending is to one of the best, if not the best, quarterback in the Big Ten. That is possible, and that is in the cards. But after what we saw last year, that is the question, and it's fair to question. Now I think the answer is found in what he dealt with last year and what the team dealt with and what we see going into this year. Listen, I'm a broken record at this point. I've said it 1,000 times, but last year, everything lined up for him to fail. 18 days to prepare for the season, 2 weeks off due to COVID after he lights it up, all of his receivers get hurt, then he deals with a shoulder injury. This just wasn't a year that lined up for him to succeed pretty much in any way. You move forward to this year, he gets a full year. A, he's healthy. B, he's working with healthy options on the outside. The offense around him looks awesome, including the offensive line, running back, receiver, tight end Jake Ferguson, all of that. And he has that experience from last year to build on. So I think the answer is yes. But when you move into a year with a quarterback who last year threw 5 interceptions, could not take care of the football, and if we're being honest, was one of the big reasons that the team couldn't win in the middle of the season. Like, the defense was out there. They were playing awesome, remarkably good football. But it was the offense that kind of left him out to dry. And whether it be the run game, Mertz's turnovers, or just overall stagnation with that group, the team couldn't win games. So that's why this is a question. I think the answer is yes, he will be able to rebound, and he will be able to take that step. But it is, I mean, that's the question that everybody asks. You go to the Big Ten Network. We were just on Locked On Big Ten. The big question is, hey, what is Graham Mertz? What is he going to be this year? So it's the biggest question that surrounds this team, and nothing will really rival it because that's the quarterback position, which I'm going to touch on later in the mailbag. I got a great question about what kind of quarterback you need to win in college football this year, and I have a lot of thoughts on that, and I saw a great article today that also addresses that. So I'll get into that in the next segment. But that is my third question about the Badgers, and it is obviously the biggest and most significant because it comes at the quarterback position. My final question. Now, this might not be one you expect, but it's what will the kicking game look like when the season starts? Colin Larsch and Jack Van Dyke. Now, so those are the two guys going into this year. Last year, it was mostly Colin Larsch. Played in all 7 games, 23 extra points in 23 attempts, 5 for 7 in field goal, but he doesn't have that big of a leg. Jack Van Dyke, on the other hand, massive leg. So you're talking about a guy that's more consistent from short range, but can't stretch it out, compared to a guy who can bomb it, but isn't as good from short distance. So do they go into the year with a two kicker committee, if you will. I guess that's what they would call it, a two-kicker rotation. That's a possibility. Or do they wait until one of the guys separates themselves? Or like, do they value being able to kick longer field goals or shorter ones? Now, when you look around Wisconsin's schedule, especially last year, kickers were like kickers always come into play. It's always significant, seemingly. So this is going to be a big part of when they go to face Iowa and when they face Minnesota and get in and Notre Dame, get into those classic Big Ten punt-offs, if you will. This kicking game is going to be really important. And after we haven't seen a consistent force there in a little bit, it's interesting to see whether Larsh steps up and extends his range, Van Dyke gets more consistent, or just overall what the team's going to do, because it's going to matter. You can't just go into a year with a bad kicking game and bad special teams. Hell, we saw in 2019 what happened when Anthony Lottie dropped those two punts against Ohio State and against Oregon, that both were massive reasons behind the Badgers losing those two pivotally important games. So that's my final question, and it's definitely a big one and one that is kind of flying under the radar, because everyone will talk about the offense and the running game and defensive end, Paul Chris returning to play calling, the schedule, all that stuff. No one's really going to touch on the special teams, which when you go into a game where not many points are scored, every point means so much more. And that's what the Big Ten's about. That's why Andy Vujinovic, a punter, is such a valuable piece of the team, because he could pin people back even when he's kicking from the Badger side of the field. So you need that consistent kicking game to go into Iowa City and win, even though they won't this year. Or when they go to Minnesota in cold weather, they're going to need those guys. So that's my final question. And if we're being honest, they are my four main questions. There's the, can the team stay healthy? What are we going to see from this guy or this guy? But when you're talking about real questions slash mild concern, those are the four areas that I line up. So before I get into the mailbag and answer that big question I got, as well as one more that I saw on Twitter, this episode is brought to you by betonline.ag. You hear me talk about it all the time, but if you want to bet on your Wisconsin Badgers 3 weeks from now when they play Penn State, BetOnline is the place to go. I like the over team total of 9.5. I go find it on betonline.ag. This is your chance to get into the game with the Packers starting their season this weekend on Saturday. The Brewers pretty much playing like one of the best teams in baseball, especially with that pitching staff. God. So go to betonline.ag for all of your gambling needs responsibly. Go ahead to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using promo code LOCKEDON. Again, 50% welcome bonus, promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline are your online sportsbook experts. This episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. Now, I hate dealing with car parts. It's one of the biggest nuisances in life, just in general. It's so annoying when something goes wrong. But let's be honest, most of the time that you go to your local auto parts store, everything's overpriced. They don't have exactly what you need. That is not the case at rockauto.com. You don't need to spend 30% or 50% more money at a chain store. Rock Auto is a family business. They've been doing it for do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. The prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even a new carpet. Rock Auto is your place to go. So go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. That is rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Final segment of today's Locked On Badgers, a quick mailbag. Now, the first question I got on Twitter from Nathan, he said, being a fan in Nebraska, which I'm sorry, Nathan, I'll be coming up to Madison for a game. Which game do you think I should go to? He is thinking Michigan. Now, this is interesting because there are two sides of the coin. You can either pick the best game, which I think will be Penn State, especially when you consider the electricity in the air. The Michigan rivalry, when they all come and see their team get smacked, that's always fun to see them walk home sad, go back to Ann Arbor, and realize that Jim Harbaugh isn't the answer. But those weekends are always crazy because there are way too many people in the city of Madison to do anything. So other games that I personally love and I think will be sick this year, number one is Iowa because it'll be for the Big Ten West. It'll obviously be a little colder by October 30th, but I would circle that one. And then Army. That's a sneaky good game if you like, you know, the 1920, 1940 brand of football. So those are the ones I would say. But you can't go wrong with the Penn State, Michigan, Iowa, Army. You can't really go wrong. You just have to consider what you want in the game day experience and consider how many people are actually going to be in the city. The big question I want to get to. My guy Drew texted me this. He said, do you think we have to be a pass-first offense, as in Wisconsin, to eventually compete on a national level with Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, etc.? It just seems like there is so little room for error and everything has to go perfectly to win those games with a primarily run-based offense. Now, there are a lot of sides to that question, and thank you for the question. It's a really interesting one because when you look across the college football world in the last 10 years, we've seen so many more quarterbacks go on to win the national title, get drafted in the first round. What does that tell you? It means the best player on the best team is the quarterback, and he's now going to the NFL because that is what is valued in the college game. More so than you go back years, it was the running backs from those national championship-winning teams, offensive linemen, linebackers. The quarterbacks were kind of afterthoughts until in the last 7 or 6 years when Deshaun Watson does it at Clemson, Tua comes off the bench and does it at Bama against Georgia, Trevor Lawrence obviously at Clemson, and then Joe Burrow at LSU, and even Mac Jones at Alabama. That's a string of national championship winning teams with their quarterback being their best player, going early in the draft, and their offense being built around that quarterback and his offensive weapons. So the short answer to the question is yes. You need to have some level of elite passing offense in order to compete with those teams because they're too explosive. Like Alabama last year, we saw Ohio State didn't even have a chance at stopping Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, even though he was kind of injured. But that entire offense, you just couldn't stop it. What you had to do was try to outscore it, which is what we saw Joe Burrow and LSU do 2 years ago. So the answer is yes. You need to have an elite quarterback, an elite passing attack in order to outscore some of those teams. Because even when Wisconsin, let's say they go play Alabama right now, they're not going to be able to slow the game down as much as they want to. Now, when Wisconsin goes and plays another SEC school that isn't as good as Alabama, maybe they can dictate it and play the game on their own terms, like kind of what we saw against Auburn in 2015. But in order to compete at that level, you need that elite passing attack. Now, then you get into the question of, well, what about the run first part of it? Because you're not going to transform how you play, how you recruit, because it's working. It's been working for Wisconsin since Barry Alvarez took over. It's been working for decades. They're not going to change that. All you have to change is the talent of the guys that come through the door. Because when you have elite running backs and an elite offensive line and great weapons on the outside, you could do everything. And it's really about how efficient are you at all those things. Let's look at this year's team. Like, let's say in some world, Graham Mertz becomes the best quarterback in the Big Ten. Now, obviously, all theoretical. And Wisconsin has a deadly passing attack, like we saw against Illinois last season. Now, the Badgers couldn't run the ball well in that game. But let's say you pair that level of Graham Mertz, which we might not see again, but just bear with me. Pair that level of Graham Mertz with an explosive rushing attack and a dominant defense. Like, that is a formula that could see the Badgers compete with one of the teams with an explosive offense and a quarterback going in the top five. Now, I don't think they're beating Alabama. I don't think they're beating Clemson. I don't even think they're going to beat Ohio State, even though I think they have a much bigger chance at that than some people think. But it's really about how talented are the guys in your system. You don't need to completely change how you approach the game. Like, that's what Nick Saban did. Nick Saban went from, I'm going to have literally the best running backs in the country. I'm going to have huge dudes up front. My quarterback, even though A.J. McCarron was good, like Bryce Sims, I think his name was, even though those quarterbacks are good, they're not going to dictate the game. Mark Ingram is going to dictate the games, and we're going to go beat the hell out of teams. That's one way to look at it, and that's how we won national titles 10 years, 5, 6, 8 years ago. But now, in this age, once we saw that Deshaun Watson team go beat Alabama and kick their ass and score all over them, then Nick Saban realized he had to change things up a little bit. So that's when you see Tua and Mac Jones come in with crazily good wide receivers and light it up. So I don't think Wisconsin has to change in that way like Nick Saban did. I just think they have to have the best possible players at these positions because it's football. Like, still, if you're the more physical team, you're going to go win. So if Wisconsin has talent all over the field, I think they could compete. Again, I'm not projecting them to go win a national title. That's not going to happen. But that style of play can still work as long as you have an explosive passing offense with a great quarterback, you still have a great defense, and you go and beat the hell out of the other team. Because it's still football when it comes down to it. It's not like it's turning into track. Like, if you go punch them in the mouth and they can't take it, you're probably going to win the game. So that's my take on that. And Bill Connolly up on ESPN did a great job of looking at, you know, what the what-ifs surrounding quarterbacks, especially as time has gone on. So that's our Thursday episode. Thanks for bearing with us as Asher returns to LA. We'll be back tomorrow, as always, on Wisconsin.